Hello, everyone. Welcome into the 25th episode, the quarter century mark of the Wide World of Wargaming Warhammer 40,000 segment. I am your host, Vincent Morgado. Joining me, as per the usual, Mr. Michael Schwartz.
Good evening, everyone.
And because we are without the services of Mr. Alexander Gonzalez, we are proud to welcome Bolt from the Blue, the hero of the Flying Monkey Con, Ben Neal. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing? Happy to be here.
I am fantastic and so glad you could join us. Folks, for those who do not know, this gentleman brought back a true classic, pure Ultramarines Victrix Guard list at Flying Monkey Con and came in third, if I remember correctly.
Well, almost pure Ultramarines. I did have one unit of Black Templar Scouts.
Oh. Close enough for me, man. That's anybody strange, that brings Black Templar bring is even more respect for me than that.
But yes, I got third at Flying Monkey.
And we just had to bring him on and let him explain how you can make the boys in blue competitive again. First thing I do want to ask, what was your best and worst matchup from that event?
Worst matchup was absolutely round one. Probably the type of list that I wanted to avoid most at the event. I played against Triple Crusaders, and three Onager Dune Crawlers with the Icarus Array. And I was running 20 Vanguard Veterans, so the Icarus Array is rough. And then we rolled up Hammer and Anvil Deployment, which made it even more exciting.
So they're just sitting back on their board edge going, if you come within 40 inches of me, you're going to get smacked in the face.
The Dune Crawlers were way in the back. The Knights were skirting 20 inches away from Gilliman all game long. And I failed all my charges at Deep Strike. But I did take down one knight with Gilliman, but aside from that, it was a slaughter.
Yeah, that sounds like one of the ones where there's no way out of that. You'd have to play it four or five times to find a way in, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, plus the Icarus Array, it's just like pumping out so many shots.
It's so many rounds. It's Onagers are super situational, but Jesus, when they get the right matchup, there's not a whole lot you could do against them. It gets out of hand with the quickness. Who was the easiest?
And then for my best matchup, I actually was looking for all the Discordant lists, trying to find as many as possible because I wanted to play against those. I had lost against the Discordant list the week before in Vegas. So I kind of tooled up my list, wanted to get revenge against those, and I actually got to play against two of them, which the Victrix Guard stratagem for a strike first for Ultramar actually is very, very effective against Lord Discordance. And the Storm Cannon Leviathan can delete one a turn as well. Gilliman can delete one by himself.
Yep.
Do you want to remind the audience what that stratagem does?
Yep. So strike first for Ultramar, it's specific to the specialist detachment I took, which is Victrix Guard. Yep. So it's for three command points at the end of the opponent's charge phase. I get to pile in and fight with a unit from the detachment. Oh my God. So my Vanguard veteran units had three Thunder Hammers, and I had the banner for plus one attack. So that is 10 Thunder Hammer attacks, rerolling hit and wound at the end of the opponent's charge phase.
Yeah, I think that'll get rid of a Disco Lord pretty quick. Jesus Christ.
And then the rest of the unit has Chain Swords, so I've also used it to delete 30-man Orc Boys that charge into that.
Oh, that's adorable.
Jesus. Okay, I'm starting to see the picture here. And I presume this is just kind of like a wolf pack where you keep Gulliman in the middle and then the two units of Victrix Guard kind of like as like his left and right punch is kind of the formation.
So I would, in almost every matchup, I put one unit of Vanguard veterans up into reserve.
Mm-hmm.
And I would set up the other one on the table, screening for all my characters. And then the Leviathan behind, I would usually just building hop with them, keep them out of line of sight as much as possible until I could charge. And then the unit coming out of reserve, they get plus one to charge if they're within 12 of Gilliman. Yeah. And then Veil of Time for a psychic power lets them reroll their charges. Ooh. So it's an 8-inch rerollable, which is not too bad to make.
No.
That's If I remember correctly, that's about a 70% chance. I think something like that.
It's not bad. It's really good odds. It's good odds. Are you doing the math, Vince?
I just wanted to remember it. I was trying to just illustrate for people. It's not guaranteed because eight inches is still a long way. But this is not like a normal, you know, charge from deep strike where you're kind of just throwing it in there as like a freebie, you know, or kind of to draw some Overwatch away from somebody else and hope that you make it.
Well, I mean, you can argue that most competitive deep strike units have mechanics such as Ben has, or the Blood Angels with the 3d6, or the Bloodletter Bomb with, again, the
Bloodletter Bomb
with the 3d6 rerollable. It's those are the very useful mechanics to have. Everything else is just a complete crapshoot, as you pointed out.
I'll put it this way, Ben, if that didn't all combo together, I doubt you'd be running those particular units. I mean, this would be a very different list without the specialist detachment, right?
Yep, absolutely. Would not even think about the Vanguard veterans without that specialist detachment.
Yep. Jeremy Vessier, who's a guest host on this show, he appears very, very infrequently, but he sang the praises of the Vitrix Guard very early on. Everyone else was flipping out. I'm sure you remember over the Emperor's Wrath and the Emperor's the Steel Phalanx Company, and you know, not that the artillery formation didn't have success, or that the Soul Forge pack isn't becoming a monster now, but the Vitrix Guard just nobody seemed to go near. And so we wanted to, you know, because that conversation has stood out to us for this long, we wanted to bring you on and talk about that.
Yeah, so one of the things that I really love about Strike First for Ultramar is that it takes away the one weakness of the Vanguard veterans that you can't get around, and that's if someone just hits before you and they wipe you out. Whereas someone's going to shoot at you, they're going to wipe you out, but there's a lot of ways to get around that. A lot of the time, I would give up my entire round of fighting just to wrap up a unit of, say, Rangers or Vanguard. So I would just swing with one guy, slap him around a little bit, not even use my weapons, not kill anyone, wrap him up, and then sit there. Say, all right, you can't shoot me. If you're going to charge me, I'm going to strike first for Ultramar and kill whatever charged. Then in my turn, or in your turn, I'm going to wipe out the unit I'm locked with and then go charge something important.
That's very good tactics right there, ladies and gentlemen.
It's just island hopping. I mean, every single small five-man block, you know, basically roadblock unit, instead of becoming a roadblock, is literally a trampoline. Like, he just bounces unit to unit to unit, and then you can't even countercharge because at the end of your charge phase, you get punched in the mouth by three Thunder Hammers and then, like, what, 15 attacks? No, more than that. It's like 20-something chainsword attacks?
It's 33 chainsword attacks from the unit.
All rerolling to hit wound.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Because of the big man. Yeah. Okay. I officially we were unsure how this list worked. And now that we've worked it out, holy shit. that's pretty incredible. You're talking about you're not worried about orcs.
Nope.
You're not worried about demons. You're really not even worried about plague bearers, even with the reroll hit and wound, right?
No, I actually played against Jim Vessel's Plague Bear list at LVO, and with him playing it, and I did beat him at LVO. Ooh. So I have no problem with dealing with the Plague Bears.
Congratulations.
I didn't have the Vanguard Vets on that list, but it was very similar, and the Vanguard Vets do it even better than what I was running before.
Right.
Okay. And
oh,
I was going to ask about the evolution of lists. Do you foresee the next iteration, or do you just try to learn the interior tactics of this list now? Or how did you get to this current edition of the Ben Special, shall we call it?
Yeah, so the very first version of the list I played at SoCal, which was before any specialist detachments. I had 13 characters on my list, including 6 assassins, and I had 0 vehicles, and I was just running around, screening all the characters, having a bunch of fun with that. Slowly, I moved back to pure Space Marines. I ran the Leviathan for a while. And then at LVO, I dropped the Leviathan and I ran Ultramarines with a Crass Crusader.
Mm-hmm.
That worked out very well. I played against three Castellans at LVO. Beat two of them, killed all three of them, but lost to one of the lists. And then at right around LVO, like 3 days before, is when I looked at the Victrix Guard and I was like, I can use this. But it was too late to use it for LVO, so I started using it afterwards. And then just really perfecting that, getting the right mix of weapons in the squad. I started out with all chainswords, mm-hmm. then decided I wanted to use the Vanguard Vets as more of a workhorse.
Yeah.
So threw mm-hmm. some Thunder Hammers in there. I just used five Storm Shields because the double chainsword guys, I take mortal wounds and no AP shots on them first, so I can save a few points for other stuff. And then eventually it just came back to pure Ultramarines after the knights got nerfed, and one knight just not nearly survivable as what it was before.
Definitely not. That was awesome.
And, you know, that was kind of the hope, I think, was that they wanted to remove, you know, knights plus lists.
Yeah.
In that, you know, you would just bring a knight basically as, oh, yeah, and here's 400 points that I'm leaving off to the side. what's your feeling kind of on how the meta is shifting with the, not the removal of knights, but the removal of Castellans?
Yeah, I really like it because you're starting to see a lot of vehicles that you would have never seen mm-hmm. a month earlier. Like, if the Discordant came out when the Castellan was a thing, I don't even think people would be winning with it because you'd lose two Discordants on turn one to the Castellan.
Right.
But now you don't have to worry about it, and they can go rampage with the rest of their vehicles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see not just Disco, but just Chaos in general? Did you see Don Houston versus Jeff Robinson at a couple? Was it? I think it wasn't LVO. It was a different tournament. Schwartz, help me out. BAO. Did you see that one?
I did not see that one.
Don. So Don is another, you know, general hero of the program for just being the wild man that he is. He brought, I think it was something like three Dorito Dreadnoughts, three Hell Turkeys, and a bunch Disco of Lords Disco Lords.
Two non-Dorito, but Hellforged Dreadnoughts. Yeah. So you pack three Dorito Hellforged Dreadnoughts, two regular Hellforged, the three Hell Turkeys, and three Discord. So you're talking about 11 chaos mechanical things.
Like, how would you feel? Like, are you pretty confident against something like that?
So I did play against two lists like that. I played against mm-hmm. one that was running the triple Derridaeo, triple Disco Lord and Mortarion, and two Helldrakes. And then I played against triple Derridaeo or double Derridaeo and one Contemptor, and then triple Discordants and Mauler Fiends and the Venom Crawlers. Generally, if I don't get Hammer and Anvil, that's a pretty good matchup for me. On Hammer and Anvil, it's a little tougher because it's a lot harder to get to the Derridaeos.
Yeah.
But the Leviathan does a really, really good job of drawing fire from the Butcher Cannons, and it does not go down easily. I know in my round 5 game where I played against three Derridaeos, I took, I think, 2 damage on turn 1 from all three Derridaeos, putting all their firepower into it. Between prepared positions, -1 to hit from Tigerius, Master of Prescience, and then mm-hmm. Empiric Channeling into Might of Heroes on his turn 1. So then it's toughness 9.
That's a pretty neat defensive combo you got there. So that's a 2-up toughness 9 with a 5-up?
With a 4-plus invulnerable. It's a 1-plus save, -1 to hit, toughness 9.
Tough nut to crack.
Jesus. Okay.
It did die to the Crusaders on turn 1, actually. So that was unfortunate.
Wow, that's... I actually would not have expected that, even with Crusaders, if I remember, a Reaper Chainsword Battle Cannon?
The double gun one. So he had Gatling and Thermal on all three of his.
Gatling and Thermal, okay.
A lot of firepower will take that down. It's just, he had to commit everything, I imagine.
And against the three knights, I mean, that was the game that you said was just a complete, there was just no way out of that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that's the one I lost. And if I would have made my charges out of Deep Strike, I could have made it a little closer. But yeah, he played well, sticking far away from Gilliman. And I just had to waddle through the middle of the table and eventually died.
Oh, that's so sad.
And, you know, it's such is generally the lot of Vanguard veterans in every other edition. So let me ask about a couple other things. The Thunderfire cannon, what's the impetus behind that? Is it just for the movement reduction shenanigans if somebody tries to back away from you?
Yeah, so I do need a heavy support to bring the Leviathan because of the relic tax. It was there for that. It can also repair the Leviathan if I stand next to it because of the Tech Marine Gunner. And yet, I needed some ignores line of sight shooting. I actually didn't use the tremor shells at all at Flying Monkey, but I had it there in my back pocket because between that and Tenebrous Curse from the Phobos Librarian, you can really slow down an entire orc army.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And make it easier to engage just like one piece at a time, essentially.
Yeah, where I played against orcs earlier with this list, not at the event, but I could slow down two units that are far away from my Vanguard veterans. The third unit charges into them and strike first for Ultramar, pick them up.
Yeah, no, that's the perfect combo.
It lets me hit on my turn.
And then you're just picking them apart, unit by unit.
I mean, it's just fascinating to hear somebody talking about they're using it primarily any kind of jump pack Marine list in 2019 and doing, you know, what's it, if you're beating Jim Vassal, I don't think I need to go any further on whether you're doing well with it. What have you seen as far as some of the other additions for Ultramarines, like the Phobos pattern? Do you see anything? What do you see out of those units that you think you could add if you were to keep adopting this list?
So the biggest problem with the list is very short range. The Leviathan only has 24 inch range on his guns. So what I was going to do next is drop the Leviathan, add in some more long range, probably double Whirlwind Scorpius. Ooh. Just because that gives a lot of good ignores line of sight, long range. Yeah. Especially with Gilliman like rerolls.
And then do they suffer a penalty for moving and firing?
They do. So going to that, I would change up the play style a little bit. Sit back for turn one and two, use the Vanguard veterans as a counter charge, and then on turn three forwards, move up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You got to be patient with that list.
Yep, definitely. And hope for good terrain, which the list has to do anyways. Because if there's no terrain on the table, I'm almost guaranteed to lose.
Yeah, I was also wondering, what the effect of the notorious ITC boxes would have on your list, and just like how important it is to have, full LOS blocking terrain for these units once you do drop in. I mean, obviously, you can hope you can survive a little bit of it with the storm shields. Instead of bouncing everything off of a 3-up, which we all know might as well be a 5-up in this particular edition. Yep. And I say that as someone whose army is all 5-ups.
Sorry.
It's a fascinating list, and it's a very cool concept. Do you think when Marines come out, I mean, because I think that's the rumor now, is that we're expecting Marines by the end of the year?
Yeah, it's the rumor. Everyone's talking about it.
What are you hoping for in terms of if you could modify a few points to this list, things that you think maybe even though it's successful, you're paying a little bit extra for things that maybe you think could be adjusted?
Mostly I would like to see them rework a lot of the stratagems because there are only really two stratagems that I ever use out of the Space Marine book, which is Empiric Channeling and the Honor the Chapter, I think, the one to fight again at the end of the fight phase. The rest of the stratagems are just so lackluster, or you need three predators to use it, or it's a whirlwind-specific stratagem where you need land speeders. Whereas I would love to have a lot of these, like Gene Sealer Cult or Eldar stratagems, that actually give you some new ways to play.
Yeah, because I mean, it did seem like the Ultramarines were never, have always been kind of meant to focus on being a mid-range shooting with assault as a cleanup, not at all like a charge first faction. Mm-hmm. And it seems like their stratagems definitely lean towards that way, as you know, kind of just being the most conventional of the Marines, if one could put it that way. I definitely see the complaint about the about that, but since you are planning on adding to a little long-range shooting. You know, what's your feeling on Predators? Where are they at? You know, do they become more viable with Knights out of the meta, or is it just are they just DOA until a big change comes?
Yeah, so I actually tried the running Killshot Predators in this list a few times,
mm-hmm.
Even with the new change and prepared positions. Most of the time, if I go second, a Predator will die on turn one against most lists, and then I'm kind of shit out of luck because I can't do kill shot. But if I get to go first with the Predators, they're definitely very effective. But I just don't really like playing that type of list where I have to go first to use it.
I know that feeling. Playing the same faction as Brandon Grant, but not being anywhere near as good as him. I do find a lot of times that as many points as I invest in Lehman Russes and as much as I put into trying to keep them alive, whether it's prepared positions or smoke launchers or minus ones from Primarises, you just, you're going to catch enough last cannons or missile launchers or pick your favorite that there's just,
a couple Captain Smash hammers in there as well for group.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. Shut up. I'm not. There's a reason my nickname is Salt Powered Robot. So very cool. And thank you for walking us through that list here. We also wanted to talk about the just ended Boise Cup, and we hope you'd stick around and kind of walk through a couple lists with us.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go ahead. We do like to just – what we normally do is cover the top three or top four and then jump through and pick, targets of opportunity, whatever kind of cool things that stand out. We'll start it off with Mr. Richard Kilton. What I'm looking at is Evil Sun's battalion into – second battalion into – what is that? So it's the Death Skulls, Evil Suns, and then – is that Mad
– for the looted.
Bad Moons. All right. I only see
15, but that's only one unit of Ludas. The Gretchen wall in front of it. So basically, you have to kill like 40 Grots before you can touch the Gulas, Ludas for better term. And they're using the Bad Moons upgrade to basically just like pound you from long range.
And then, of course, the best gun in all the 40K, the Big Mech Shock Attack gun. I remember when that gun was, what was it, 6th edition, 5th and 6th edition, where it was a joke, but it was a funny joke. It's not even funny anymore. Fucking ludicrous. I've seen that. I think the all-time record I saw from that was 36 wounds, including mortals.
Wow.
Holy God.
Wait,
what?
It was a game on Jeff Robinson's stream. He did like 28 wounds to a land raider, and then there was some mortal wounds after it or before it. I don't remember the exact order. But I love anybody that brings shock attack guns in any form. Then we're looking at 29, 23. So, approximately 100 boys, double weird boy, the Wog Banner, all the Gretchens in the world.
Standard issue orc list of like just a lot in your face and a ton of shooting. It's pretty potent. Ben, what would you do to deal with this? Actually, your army can chop through this pretty easily, couldn't it?
I was going
to
say, how?
Yeah. It can definitely hit it pretty hard. The problem is getting back to the Ludas after all the boys are dead, because it's like, sure, I can kill a whole unit of boys, but if I'm not able to wrap something up, he's going to delete that entire unit of Vanguard veterans.
Yeah.
I mean, Ludas are just like so good with the oh my god, yeah.
Yeah. And if he gets a lucky roll on his shock attack gun, goodbye Leviathan on turn one.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been done. that thing does not care how tough you are.
No, it really doesn't.
And is this where, I mean, we do like to make fun of it, but is this where the Thunderfire comes in, where you're going after the looters and just trying to trim through the grots piece by piece?
Yeah, I mean, it'll make him spend a CP each turn, but until the Leviathan actually can walk up into range, or I can make my charges, there's not much I can do to those looters.
Yeah.
Which is really why I want to start trying out the Scorpius, because then I can start pounding them from turn one.
Yeah. I was going to say, you can tell this is what this list is designed to do. It's just throwing so many bodies, and it's efficient shooting in the backfield that's very difficult to get to because of the sheer amount of bodies that you have to deal with first.
Rich has been having a lot of success with this.
Yeah.
I know he won the Gentleman's GT a couple weeks ago with a really similar list, maybe the same one.
Oh, Vegas?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Congratulations. Well, okay. Maybe we have we might have a successor to the Jim Vassall Reign of Terror, which was – did he run three straight majors with that list?
With Jim's? Yeah, he did.
Oh, my God.
It's a super good list. I mean, it's –
Yeah. Oh no. You need to tell me this. I love seeing guys go on runs. I don't know why, but it feels kind of like golf, where you see a guy go on just an absolute tear for four or five straight tournaments, and then eventually somebody has to fade out. But it's always cool, and it does help shift the meta a little bit, just in terms of perception, because it means that maybe a few more guys bring orcs, and that changes up how people see the game. And every time somebody new looks at a list, there's a chance they change. They make that one tiny adjustment,
I agree. It's I mean, the meta's in such fluidity right now. It's a beautiful time to be in the game.
Absolutely.
Now next we'll look at Mr. Thomas Hagstrom Oki. I have encountered this gentleman a few times on Facebook shorts. I'm sure you know what that means.
I've encountered this guy several times in real life. He's a really nice dude. What did you do to piss him off, Vince?
What do I do to everyone to piss them off?
Okay.
Leading off with Blood Angels Battalion, the Sanguinor, a Chaplain with a jump pack, a Libby with a jump pack, 3x5 scouts, a Sanguinary Priest with a jump pack, a Smash Captain, 3x5 scouts. Oh, no, I'm sorry. One unit of Infiltrators.
Infiltrators.
Is that the
The new Primaris scouts, yes.
Yeah.
They're super good.
We talked about them being good, but we were worried about them being too expensive.
Well, yeah, but if you run them as a 5-man unit, like it's 110 points, they're pretty potent.
Yeah, but it's still twice the cost of a scout unit.
Yeah, but they have a better save and they have a better gun, so
it's pretty much 110 points to turn off Gene Stealer Cult until they die.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, that's an interesting way of putting it. I mean, if you have the opportunity to take a unit that hard counters an entire faction, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Yeah,
for 110 points.
Then we've got a librarian with Phobos, a Sanguinary Ancient, a gigantic unit of Death Company, and then a giant unit of Sanguinary Guard. And then it looks like bringing an assassin because why not?
Yeah. I mean, I know exactly how this list works. He's basically using all these characters to buff his Death Company and Sanguinary Guards into all-consuming blenders. He just needs to be able to connect with his assaults, which is always the issue with close combat heavy armies. But yeah, this is as efficient of a Blood Angels army as you can get.
This is it, huh? This is the top.
I mean, if he could, he could squeeze in Lamardis for the Death Company, I think that would be super good because Lamardis is only 100 freaking points.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the Smash Captain is going to do work. Sanguinary Priest is there to heal up. The Librarian is going to the Blood Angel psychic powers are really good. Sanguinor is cheap for what he does, and he gives +1 attacks. He's really good in close combat himself. He can fall back and attack all again. So he's constantly bouncing in and out. The Chaplain's doing work comboed with those two big death ball units. And like you said, Infiltrators are just shutting down anything that's deeper striking within 12 inches, and the Scouts are doing work. It's a pretty efficient list if you practice with it.
The Priest also gives +1 strength to any units within 6 of him.
Thank you. I forgot about that one. Yes. So Jesus, so the dev company's hitting like Mack trucks then, especially the Thunder Hammers.
Yeah, and yeah, strength be, 5 on the chain boards too.
Oh, we would. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so like strength 9 on the Thunder Hammers plus 1 to wound. So basically it's basically wounding almost everything in the game on 2s.
And you're wounding knights on 4s with the chain sword.
Nice. Nice. Well, Vince, you got to remember, Blood Angels plus 1 to wound in close combat on the turn they charge.
That's right.
Yeah. So, as out, the priest with the plus 1 strength, the chaplain, which gives him the reroll to hit in close combat. Well, I guess that's why he's running the chaplain instead of the instead of Lamardi's, because that applies to both the Sanguinary Guard and the Death Company.
Yeah.
And then the librarian has a power that gives you plus 1 attack to the unit.
Yeah.
So he can do that again on either one. So basically, he's got 2 rolling murder balls that he just
I was going to ask, at what point do you overboost one of these units? Like, where's the saturation point?
Thing is, most of these things are just aura. So Sanguinor is a 6-inch aura. The chaplain's a 6-inch aura. The sanguinary priest is a 6-inch aura. The captain with the reroll ones is a 6-inch aura. Not that you need it because you have the chaplain. So you can basically run both units in a general facility, and if you're deploying correctly, you can give both the buffs to both of those units at the same time and just delete.
Yeah, I just essentially go, do you really want me to roll this? because I'm just doing the math on what you said. Like, if I remember, Death Company are 2 attacks, right? Base?
Yeah.
So you're talking about the Thunder Hammers are going to be hitting on, they're back to hitting on 3s with all the buffs you're throwing on them. They're wounding everything in the...
Plus 1 attack on the charge, plus 1 attack from the Sanguinor, so there's going to be 4 attacks on the charge.
Right. I mean, he's getting...
4 attack on the psychic power, too. Potentially up to 5.
Up to 5.
Dude, that's 25 Thunder Hammer attacks.
Rerolling the
hitting
hit.
Hitting on 3s, rerolling to hit, rerolling wounding on 2s. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
This is
Don't
an Age of Sigmar unit.
Together
this
or you'll lose 2 of them.
This isn't 40K. I could have done this, like...
You're right, Vince. It's 41K. The story has moved forward. Get with it.
That's fair. I could have done this in fantasy. That's the closest I can come to this. But I couldn't do this in... Jesus Christ. Oh, all right. Well, the golden age of jump pack assault units appears to be descending upon us. Long may they reign.
Yeah, seriously. I might be running a similar list in the next GT. This is giving me inspirations.
I think we kind of want to jump down actually to Scott Rumpel's list because he brought something that hasn't been seen in a while, Space Wolves.
Oh, wow.
Oh. I'm looking at a battalion of wolves with a battle leader and a priest. Essentially looks like a Wolf Guard version of the Smash Captain. Grey Hunter's double intercessor. Remind me of that one.
Intercessors? They're, Primaris Marines.
Okay. You know what the names on Primaris are like. I can never remember all of them anymore. Then a big unit of Wolfen, again in the same vein. Jesus. 7 Thunderhammer Storm Shield Wolfen. And then Storm Wolf, then a House Crest Crusader, and then 2 Armor Glaives. Armiger War Glaives. This is an interesting list.
I mean, Ben, do you want to explain
it's
to
low, low model count? Well, no, I mean, just like look at the model count on this.
Yeah, fair point. It's got a lot of good efficient shooting. Plus, if those wolfen touch you, oh my god! And they're running. Right?
I'm sure there's no way you're walking wolfen across the board.
You can outflank them with a stratagem.
That is true.
Oh wow! Surprise!
And then they get to reroll their charges also, so it's not horrible to make it out of outflank, but still, it's a 9-inch rollable.
Yeah, it's not the best odds.
Well, 9-inch. No, but you do make up for it just with the fact that it's an outflank. I mean, if you get it on the right table, like if you got this on hammer,
yeah, Yeah.
You're looking at 48 inches of board space where you have to worry about where this giant blender of psychopaths is going to appear on the board and just go, "Hey, did you like that unit? You better hope I don't roll a 9." that's kind of what we're talking about here. Outflank has always been super powerful. Trust me, I run Rough Riders. And if we can make it work, I'm sure Wolfling can make it work.
Anyone can make Outflank work.
Because they'll actually kill stuff.
Fuck you, Mike. Fuck you, Mike.
Vince, you should come out of retirement. I miss your trash talk in the middle of games.
Look, I'm not retired. I've gotten in a few. I just have to knock, you know me. I'm just really on to a couple things right now. This show does not, let's be clear, this show does not leave a lot of game nights for me. The other thing, guys, is like, walk me through the Warglaives. I have not played against them. I don't think I've ever even really watched them played for very often. How are they used? Are they mobile? They seem to be just like one of the top tier mobile firepower units, right? Is that kind of their game?
Yeah. So House Crass gives you reroll all failed hits in close combat, which makes them actually pretty hard because he's got the close combat ones.
Yeah, he's got the mini Reaper chainsword.
Yeah, I usually like the Helverins more, even with House Crest. But it looks like he was probably using these to screen for his characters while he moved up the table if he was going to outflank his Wolfen. Yeah.
That's another thing that's weird is like it's low in every, you know, it's just a low model count list, but it's not even, you wouldn't even call it super vehicle heavy. It's just low models. He just doesn't have a lot there. I would really worry about bringing a list like I take it back. I would never consider bringing a list like this. I would just feel like I can't hold objectives. I don't have enough characters to, you know, reliably keep my buffs up if I'm running into anything with sniper at all. Well played to him. I don't want to unfairly criticize. He's probably better than me.
I mean, they're efficient units. Plus, the intercessors are surprisingly. I mean, 85 points for 5 Primaris Marines. They're really cheap for what they are.
They do kind of make a mockery of regular.
Correct
space
me if
Marines.
I'm wrong, but like I think the new point cost for Primaris models means that they're pretty efficient if done correctly. So like these guys are survivable if you're behind line of sight blocking. If they're in the open, they're going to die just like everything else.
As long as you don't find the Avenger Gatling cannons or Riptide Burst cannons, they actually live pretty long. But the second you find those weapons across the table from you, you're going to lose your whole unit right away.
Anything with damage, too, that's like multiple shots is like, I live for this moment. Sorry.
Yeah, Disintegrators are the same way. They just melt Primaris Marines.
I can totally see that.
Dark Eldar are so strong now. They are just absolute monstrosities.
Yeah, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I'm looking at two more lists I want to talk about just because they are both players of note and they're representing a bit of the change we were talking about. Number one, Michael Snyder bringing out the Gene Stealer cult with a triple tank commander, which we've seen a couple times before, but it's just one more piece of evidence that, now that Castellans are gone, Lehman Russes are playable. And if you can run them with Gene Stealers, your ass better be running them with Guard. And then Skynet himself, Skynet. Brandon Grant, bringing out – he's Skynet. Bringing out Strachan with an Emperor's Blade Assault Company from the Vigilist Detent book.
Combo.
But he's brought Wait. No. He brought Chimeras, which I don't think anyone has seen on the table in how long.
Unless you're in the UK. They love their Chimeras out there.
Oh, is it one of those little meta quirks?
It's just because ETC missions use a lot of Maelstrom, and people like their fast OBSEC units to hide inside transports.
Yeah, and I mean, with double heavy flamer, I can see why.
I'm at a loss. I haven't seen. I haven't read the words Chimera on a list in a long time. Is it sad to say that I almost forgot IG had dedicated transports?
No, okay. Because everyone else did too.
I mean, I remember the days of like early 8th edition, which, you know, I know I sound like a grandfather, but that was only 2 years ago. But it's just like with like Tauroxes shooting up everything. Well, Scion Tauroxes to be specific. But like, he probably is using them to move, grab objectives. He can also use them as freaking a rolling line of sight blockers for his infantry squads, worst case scenario.
Yeah, they can eat Overwatch for the Mulgrins too.
Yes. I also want to remind myself what the Emperor's Blade company does.
Plus one attack.
So it gives them, okay. Units at the end, they've got two stratagems come out of this. The Chimeras can actually be used to support Overwatch. Ooh. With two heavy flamers. That's pretty good. And then rapid redeploy. This might be the other one. Use this stratagem. Units embarked can disembark at the end of the movement phase.
Oh, okay.
Instead of having to disembark at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it. And it gives them issues orders. Oh, and it turns the Chimeras into better command vehicles, which is always kind of cool. I do love that.
So basically, he's using this thing to move up his infantry squads very close and then punch people in the face with his infantry squad.
Well, he brought Strachan and 60 Katashan Guardsmen. So, yeah, strength 4 close combat with an extra attack is a thing that is going to be happening with this list.
90 Guardsmen.
Oh, yeah.
And this one. He's got 90.
He's got
triple battalion.
4 Leman Rust. He's got 3 tank commanders, 2 company commanders, an astropath, a priest, no Primaris. That's odd.
I mean, he's got this. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. All the Primaris does is he casts Smite better.
Well, then,
but the Astropath does the guard power is just the same.
That's fair.
He's just not an HQ.
Which does help. I mean, the elite slot for guard is not overflowing with great choices.
I mean, what are you talking about? You got the Ministerium Priest, you got Bulgrims, and you got Astropath. That's pretty overflowing.
the Priest is there just if you run super heavy infantry. Or Bulgrins. I mean, it's you only run one thing out of the elite section, and it's Bulgrins with support characters. It's kind of what I'm implying.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he's got the one floating Emperor's Artillery Company with the Wyvern for double shots, or no, you don't get to move this turn.
And he's got an Assassin.
And he has an Assassin, because fuck you. That's my default response to why anyone runs an Assassin, is so that if they do run into either Eldar or Chaos, they can just drop a Kalexis in the middle of the board and go, yeah, I know you wanted to cast Psychic Powers, but I don't think I can allow that to happen. Or the Cal. I mean, the other one, though, is the Calidus. I think those two have kind of, from what we've heard, have kind of won out as far as what are the two most multi-use, multivariate assassins. As a man who runs it, how do you feel?
I still like Triple Vindicare. That's my favorite.
A man after my own heart. Man, I'm glad I'm not the only one.
I really like all of them. The Avasaur is just like a freaking walking... Yeah, like...
It's a blender.
Very nice orc unit you have there. Too bad I'm going to wipe it out.
I'm bringing 30 arc poison. You can't stop me. That's where you're wrong, kiddo.
Good times.
I do really wish Vindicares were in a better place. Like, they're good. I don't think by any stretch of the imagination they're bad, but it's just what they do is just not necessary to the game. That's the sad truth of it. There's too many places for characters to hide, too many of them have, you know, feel no pains and things like that.
Here's a question,
Vince.
If they added the Vindicare can shoot at a character even without line of sight, do you think that would change it?
Well, that's a broken ability. Absolutely, that would change it.
That's why I have a Honor Guard in my list.
I was going to ask. I meant to ask about that. Are they basically just, you know, slapping more wounds on Gulliman?
Gulliman or Maya. They can actually protect my psychers from perils, too.
Really?
So if,
what's the...
Yep, so it's when...
that's a hilarious
just when Ultraman's character loses a wound, I can pass it on to them. So they can bop Tiggy on the head when he perils and take all the wounds for him. So it's really nice against like demonic possession, because Space Marine Librarians only have 4 wounds, so doing 2d3 would probably kill him, but I can save him from that.
Yeah, that's a good combo. That's hilarious, though. Also, Sorry,
I'm on the image of that was absolutely fantastic. Where it's like Tiggy just starts to spaz out, and the Victor's card just like pulls a share and slaps the shit out of him. Snap out of it!
And then gives him some ibuprofen. Gives him some ibuprofen for the headache.
Oh man! All right. Oh. Well, guys, anything also, I guess we kind of should mention that the long-awaited return of Apocalypse appears to be approaching. I mean,
yeah, it just went up yesterday.
Oh, it's up?
Yeah.
It went up for pre-order yesterday. For pre-order,
okay. I was going to say, wow, we're really behind on this show, but that's nothing new.
And Chaos Knights are going to be in pre-order for next weekend.
Yeah, and we're going to be sure we're going to have to talk about that just to stop Alex from nutting all over himself.
Alex is a very big fan of Chaos Knights, and so he is currently doing inappropriate things about thinking about that codex right now.
Basically, the way to imagine it is that our friend Alex is playing Necrons only to hold him over until he can play Renegade Knights again. That's essentially all he's doing right now.
Get ready for 3 double Gatling Crusaders.
Oh, my here God. It comes. God.
I don't have enough tanks.
No one does.
No one does.
That's an incorrect statement. I of anyone in the world who does, I do.
Yeah. I was going to say.
I can say that safely at this point in my life. I still have enough Lehman Russes to hold on. I think I still have 12.
Oh my God. You could be like a used car Lehman Russ salesman.
I could be a used car Lehman Russ dealer. believe me when I tell you those are the things I've been holding on to in the hope that they nerf the Castellan and then everything else will fall into place around them. But 3 double Gatling Knights does not sound like anything I want to be a part of. Does that, I might as well ask you, Ben, hey, what would you do? Because I know what I'm going to do. Die badly.
I'm going to hope that the entire table is in closed buildings.
Yeah. I mean,
that's all that can save me at that point.
Or ITC boxes. I mean, you know, that one little cargo crate could be the difference.
I love my boxes. Yeah, I'll turn those all game long.
They're saving grace right now. That's probably why you're seeing the reappearance of the jump back units, simply because of like their ability to like hide in those boxes.
Yep. I sit in boxes until I can wrap a unit up.
It's a good strategy.
Yeah. Well, let's, you know, now that we've looked at a couple lists and we've got on a man who's officially proving that jump back infantry is playable again. How do we feel kind of just about where this game is going? Does anyone notice we haven't really heard the tears about assault not being viable in a while?
I mean, you need to have a lot of experience in order to make assault work. I played a game today and fucked it up and lost because my assault didn't pan out.
All right, but I mean, between let's talk about the factions who really can make it work. Orcs, number one. Harlequins number, or why did I say Harlequins? Well, they can, but they suck. I had it in my head. Dark Eldar can do it. I know they're more. I mean, I'm specifically talking about witches.
Blood Angels.
I mean, shit. We had Tony Myers on here, proving that. Who's the name that we know? I've already forgotten the name. Schwartz, help me.
Talking about your Nari.
The Eldar that nobody.
How did you forget about your Nari? I mean, like that's like they'll be.
Because, dude, have you seen – bro, we haven't even seen one in the top 10 weeks. I know, but I've been
scarred for life. My last words in this earth will probably be like, no more Yanari.
Look, X-Wing just had a massive point reshuffle. My head is all over the place right now.
TIE Fighters suck.
No, TIE Fighters don't suck. Not in X-Wing. But then, I mean, you know, then you're talking about Blood Angels. We've now seen it work. You've got Gene Stealer Cult, and now Ultramarines can do Vanguard Veteran spam and win games. I mean, you know, what are we – is this kind of the comeback? It wasn't – Prepared Defenses didn't do it. Some of the objective changes didn't really do it. You've got – Chaos tried to lead the way with – with Plague Bearers and with the Demon Bombs, but, you know, is it finally reaching that point of fair, of equitable balance, I guess is the question.
Yeah, I mean, playing close combat, I think, still entirely relies on what terrain you have on the table. Mm-hmm. No matter what, even if you're playing Genes to Occult and most of your stuff is off the table, if you don't have good terrain, you'll just get tabled before you can even bring it on.
Yeah.
I know my list, especially if there's not at least one building that I can hide my entire unit of Vanguard veterans in, I'm almost guaranteed to lose that game if they have a gun line. Just because it's so important that you can move up the table out of the line of sight until you get a charge target. Otherwise, you're just going to die. And there's nothing you can do about it. Mm.
And I mean, even with if you're somehow unable to get the full wrapper, if you accidentally wipe the unit, you are kind of just still standing there with your dick in your hand, right?
Yeah. 100% of the time, if my Vanguard veterans were out in the open, they all died to a man at Flying Monkey every single time.
It'd be hard to say that they wouldn't. I mean, a cursory glance at your list, we recognized it immediately. We were just reading line by line and going, all right, where is this? Where is this list actually at? Oh, that's 700 points of Space Marines elite units.
But I mean,
I think we...
Yeah, my whole goal is to not let anyone shoot at the Vanguard veterans until they've done their job.
Until they've basically cleared 1,000 points of the enemy. Is that probably about the point?
I mean, yeah, it's the trade-off that you need to make when you're doing assault. You need to make them connect. And either it's a jumping around, hiding in buildings, using the new terrain rules, essentially, at least in DITC, or like getting good combos that allow you to efficiently deep strike, but in a way that can target juicy units. So you're going to need like chaff clearance on top of that.
I think it's an interesting contrast in kind of how how shooting works versus how assault works. A shooting army almost always has to have every single part has to contribute. You know, you've got there's not like you have one or two shooting units that just wipe everything in front of you, except for the Castellan, but fuck that shit. You kind of have to have every unit either shooting or adding a buff to it, right? But then if you're talking about assault, you've got your frontline guys who they hit first. Hopefully they can keep alive for one or two rounds and then kind of spread and keep clearing. Then you've got the objective holders behind them and then the characters kind of bouncing in between contributing as they can. It's a very interesting way that you have to build two very different kinds of lists, and it does, you know, they each present their own challenges. Even I say that as a gunline player who wishes that his tanks could just kill everything.
I mean, Vince, I don't know if Ben agrees with me, but I would still argue that the gunline army is more forgiving in terms of mistakes because everything can contribute. If you make a mistake with one of your key assault units, you lose the game. Period in the statement.
Yeah, I'm not going to have that. That conversation will never be ended. You guys both know that. There will never be agreement on whether a shooting list, regardless of its mobility, or an assault list is more skill
totally
required.
Close combat. Are you kidding me?
And that's why I'm not going to do it. Ben, thank you very much for joining us, sir. Congratulations again on your excellence at Flying Monkeys and actually beating Jim Vessel. That was unknown to us. So congratulations on
that was a while ago.
Hey man, a W is a W. Trust me. Before he was famous, we've now reached the hipster stage of beating Jim Vessel.
I did it before it was
impossible. Yeah, exactly. Before it was impossible, you mean? Unless your name's TJ.
Oh, my God.
But we had him on, so hopefully he'll forgive us for making those jokes. Anyway, sir, is there anyone you want to give a shout-out to? Any team you want to rep for?
Oh, yeah. So I'm playing for the Wobbly Modelers out of the East Coast. Super great group of guys. I know they've been playing for Team Battle Brothers with Sean Naden, and they actually just started up their own podcast a few weeks ago Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man.
It was a lot of fun.
We really appreciate you coming on and having you on our show before your own team got you on their show.
See, we are hipsters in our own way. We had been on a podcast before it was cool.
Oh, my. I don't think there are any hipster podcasters now. We're all just following the train. Schwartz, let's go ahead and sign off.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we will see you back here next week again. Please do leave any feedback on our Facebook page or on Podbean, and do keep watching for updates, postings for links, or anything else I don't think of at the moment. Thank you very much.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.